All right, it's 8:40. Hope you're having a great Thursday morning out there. Detective Eric Edson is in studio with us here from the Sheboygan Police Department. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Kelly. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. And for those of you unaware, Eric joins us usually a couple times a month and gets us up to speed on some scams that are impacting the area. It's always very interesting segment. And today you want to touch on a couple of different things. Phishing scams, I guess, first of all, right?
Yeah, that's probably the most common type of scam that we see where people's information is compromised. Typically, someone will get an email or a text message, which appears to be from a legitimate organization. A lot of times they're from PayPal, Amazon, UPS, things like that, maybe even the IRS. And the goal is that the scammer is trying to get you to click on a link in that email and convince you that either your account has been compromised or something bad has happened. They want to create a sense of an emergency and get you to click on that link and then hopefully enter personal information about yourself that they can use to open up bank accounts, credit cards, and commit fraud under your identity.
And they must be pretty successful.
They're very successful.
These things keep popping up, and I get them quite often, too.
And it's getting harder and harder for people to tell the difference between a legitimate email and a scam email. Hackers and scammers have gotten very good at hiding the email address or making it look legitimate, putting the images or logos that you might associate with that company. A lot of it, we've talked about the dangers of putting a lot of personal information on Facebook. People will look on your Facebook account, and they might find out that you have an account at a certain bank or at a certain whatever. And then so they'll use that to try to social engineer a successful phishing attack on your accounts.
Yeah. And so is there any way to know if an email like that is actually legitimate? Is there any other than aside from calling the company themselves?
Yeah, there are a couple things you can look for. A lot of times these attacks are perpetrated by foreign nationals, so look for spelling or grammatical errors, things that you would think that a company here in the United States, they wouldn't word an email that way. You can typically, if you're on your computer, you can hover your mouse over the email sender link, and it'll show you what the actual email address is.
Sure.
And if it's not something legitimate, obviously that should be a signal. Typically, though, if you get an unsolicited email or text message, I always tell people it's best just to go directly to that company's or that organization's website, use your login credentials, and see if they're actually looking for information from you. You can also Google, the telephone number for that bank or organization and ask them directly, say, hey, has my account been compromised or are you looking to verify information from me? Most organizations will not try to verify credit card number, social security number, birthday, that kind of sensitive information via an email or something like that. They'll get in touch with you a different way.
Okay. Good advice, as usual. You want to talk a bit about credit freezes and credit locks and a fraud alert and the difference between all three of those.
So one of the best defenses against having fraud committed against you is to have something in place to prevent someone from even opening a fraudulent account in your name. And the best way that I'm aware of to do that is what's referred to as a credit freeze. There's a lot of terms flying around out there, credit freeze, credit lock, fraud alert, things like that. And I just want to kind of dispel some of the myths or kind of talk about each one so people understand what they are.
Sure.
The credit freeze and the fraud alert are both administered by the three credit reporting bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And the major difference is a credit freeze lasts until you remove it. And it's a little bit more protection than a fraud alert. A fraud alert is temporary. It only lasts about a year. You can do an extended fraud alert, but typically those only last about a year. To put a credit freeze on your account, it doesn't affect, one of the biggest myths is that if you put a credit freeze on your account, you can't use your existing credit cards, things like that. That's not true. If you have a home equity loan or a home equity line of credit, or you have a credit card, you can still use that as you normally would. What a freeze does is it prevents new credit from being taken out in your name or new accounts being opened up in your name. The drawback is obviously if you go to Best Buy or someplace and are offering a deal to sign up for financing, you can't do that as easily.
Sure.
However, in my experience, it's fairly easy to temporarily lift the freeze with a little bit of work. You have to contact each one of the three bureaus to put a freeze on and to lift it. So it's a little more work on your part. Whereas a fraud alert, you only have to contact one of them to do that. The credit lock is something that can be offered by LifeLock. I know offers something like that. Each one of the three credit bureaus has a product that they offer that's similar to that. Sometimes it costs something. The credit freeze and the fraud alert do not cost anything. They're free to anyone. And the difference is that the credit lock is not governed by federal law. The credit freeze is. So you have different rights, a little bit more solid rights with the credit freeze than you do with the credit lock. But we always recommend to people that if you want to be sure that you're not going to be have any new accounts taken out in your name, put that credit freeze on there, and that'll protect you.
Interesting. I really wasn't aware of that, so that's good advice.
It's a little bit of a hassle, like I said. If you're at a stage in your life where you're going to be taking out loans for vehicles or a house, it's a little bit more work on your part. But it's certainly worth, because all of our data is out there. Yahoo had a breach that was billions of people's information. Facebook had a breach. A lot, you know, hear about all these data breaches. Our info is out there, and it's really just a matter of time. So we as a society need to be proactive and take some responsibility to protect our identity and our information. And one easy way to do that is a credit freeze.
Are you at all, maybe you haven't thought about this, but it's occurred to me, you know, there's been this trend since COVID kicked in that a lot of the stores you go to want you to use credit card only. Does that concern you at all that we're going to see, you know, with more people using credit cards for things maybe that they used to just pay cash for?
Right.
That we're going to see an uptick in some more of this type of activity?
That's certainly possible. I think the good thing about credit cards, at least for the consumer, is that your liability with fraudulent activity on your credit card is very limited. Certainly that has a cost to the credit card issuer that might be translated ultimately to the consumer. Yeah. But really, just from a practical standpoint, using a credit card versus a debit card or a prepaid card or some other kind of payment method is really far superior in terms of identity fraud protection. Certainly cash is an easy way to not have to have any of that information out there.
Sure.
But really in today's society and the way our information is out there and with digital payment methods, it's just a matter of time before your information might get compromised. So putting things in place to prevent that is really key.
All right. And you wanted to talk a little bit about credit monitoring too, right?
Just real quick, if you're going to put a credit freeze on, one thing if you want to monitor your credit, Credit Karma, K-A-R-M-A is the website, creditkarma.com. It's a free service that you sign up for and you're able to monitor your credit that way. It'll give you your credit score, an approximation at least of your credit score from Equifax and from TransUnion. And it also will alert you if a new account is taken out, so you're aware of that. We've talked about annualcreditreport.com is a way to get your free credit report, and that you can do weekly now under the new laws. But having some kind of credit monitoring, preferably, in my opinion, for free, but there are services that you can pay for. But that's another good way just to kind of keep on top of things. Take some responsibility to monitor your credit. Make sure you know what's going on with your accounts out there and prevent scammers from taking advantage of you.
All right. Good stuff as always. Anything else you want to add this morning, Eric?
No, I think that's all. Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate it.
You bet. Detective Eric Edson with the Sheboygan Police Department, and we'll see you in a couple weeks, right?
Sounds good.
All right. Sounds good. 8:48. Stay with us. Business news coming up next. WHBL.
Time's running out to win $1,000 a day for life from Publishers Clearinghouse.